Well, our songs this morning, which are musical prayers, also lend themselves to Jesus as a baby. Well, he didn't stay a baby. He grew up to be a tremendous man who provided us, as you can see in your message notes, the title that we've provided for this message, and that is An Uncommon Life-Giving Love. He's such a tremendous man, the God-man, and we're beginning to celebrate Christmas. He is the gift of Christmas. He is definitely the one, we've heard the saying, the gift that keeps on giving. Well, he is that gift that continues to keep on giving into the world. We're told in the Gospel of John that we are these marvelous folks who have received this gift, in that for while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God so loved you, each and every one of you, you who are here this morning and have yet to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves you. The very reason he came into the world was to go to the cross and there to offer you the opportunity by his grace upon your life and through faith on your part in him, but also another gift that he provides us when he is leading us to himself. When you decide to follow after him, then you can have all of your sins removed, forgiven, taken away, past, present, future. He can forgive you if you give yourself in fullness to him. We know that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That means he didn't have dozens of sons. He had one son, the Lord Jesus. For God so loved you, he gave his only son, that whoever, prostitutes, fornicators, murderers, thieves, you name it, whoever really trusts in him, they will not perish and go to hell. They will die physically if he doesn't return in the second advent before you pass away. But knowing him as your Lord and the Savior, you will then go to be with him in heaven. In John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 12, we are told, to all who received him, to all who asked the Lord Jesus into their lives, asking him to forgive them for their sins, to all who received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. So as we can see, it was a beautiful thing to watch the shepherds go and find Mary and Joseph and the baby, Jesus, and to see him as this beautiful bouncing baby, because we all love little babies and so forth. Babies, anything that's new, and, you know, puppies, kittens, all these things. We love these little things. But so many people don't really like Jesus when they grow up, because they like their sinful lifestyle. To be honest, I did. I enjoyed it until people started praying for me, until I heard the gospel. I did not respond to it, but heard it. It was a gift into my life that was making my life miserable as I would continue to be in sin. But then the day would finally come that I would truly respond to his favor upon my life and ask him to sincerely forgive me and to give my life to him. He is a marvelous, marvelous Savior who gives us this uncommon, life-giving love. Last week I left you on, I believe, page 5 of your notes. So let's pick up there. If you find this to be of interest and you're listening for the first time through our live stream, or you're here for the first time, you can go to our website and you can listen to the messages there, or you can talk with our media team about getting your own copy of a CD. I left you with, we seem to have done a very good job, that is the church, and we know the church is not these four walls and ceiling. The church is everyone who is a genuine believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. As the church, we've done a great job of telling the world, people, telling them what we're against, telling them what we don't like. Hopefully, we'd be telling them that in humility and with meekness and with this love that we've been studying that is unconditional, this love that is given by our Heavenly Father to each and every one of his kids upon their salvation. But the world, as I said, knows what we're against, but they're not quite sure what we're for. And if you look at your notes, people need to know that we are for God, the one true living God. We are for Jesus Christ, his Son, his marvelous Son. And we are for his love for all of them as he has given it to us. We are for people. People. No extra added on there. We're not talking about socioeconomic groups. We're not talking about race. We're not talking about color. We're for people, period. They need to know we are for new beginnings and second chances. We're for what we've come to know, everyone being able to enter into the new beginning, the new creation, through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So looking at your notes, I have written there a question for all of us. Are you ready? Are you ready to say to people, if you have good morals or bad morals, I'm still going to love you as Jesus Christ has loved me unconditionally? Think about that. Think about people that you're upset about. And why you're upset? Is it because of their morality? Think of what it would have been like for you or for me if Jesus were have decided, if he decided to say, well, your morals don't measure up, so I'm not going to love you. None of us would have made it in, right? So we need to remember these things as we are meeting with people. So I ask these other things here in your text or in your notes. If you're not clean and sober, I'm going to love you. Yes or no? Yes or no? If you're strung out and addicted, I'm going to seek your best and highest good, even at my expense, yes or no? If you're heterosexual or homosexual, I'm going to love you. I'm going to agape you, the word that we've been studying. I am going to seek your best and highest good, whether you're a heterosexual or a homosexual, yes or no? If you're a Republican or a Democrat, oh, that's a tough one, right? I'm going to love you. If you're black, white, brown, et cetera, I'm going to seek your best and highest good, and if necessary, at my expense. If you're Muslim, Jewish, Hindu, etc., I'm going to love you, yes or no? If you're an atheist or a believer, I am going to seek your best and highest good at my expense. Yes or no? Jesus said, you can see in John's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 35. By this, people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. If you have this agape love for one another. Now bear in mind, this agape love is only given to the children of God. Those who have asked Jesus Christ to forgive them for their sins, they have confessed these sins and repented. They have asked him to help him through God the Holy Spirit, who is sent to them upon their confession of faith in the Lord, to help them live the life that the Lord expects of us. And it being a supernatural life, the only way we can live it is in God the Holy Spirit, for he is part of the Godhead, supernatural. We are called to a supernatural life, a life that is giving this uncommon love back and forth to people, whether they be saved or not, whether they be of your race or not. Makes no difference. Looking back at your notes, notice, he didn't say, you are my disciples by how spiritual you come across to others, or how often you attend church, or how many scriptures you can quote. All of those things exceedingly important for our spiritual growth. But this is not what determines if we're a disciple or not. No, they will know that you are real believers, that is, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way we love other people. Amen. The church needs to grow in this. Our Heavenly Father is not Hispanic. He is not white. He is not black. He is not Asian of any kind, Korean, Chinese, Japanese. He's not Indian. He's not Arabic or anything else. If you've noticed, God is spirit. He is spirit, and he is the creator, and he created all of us. We didn't become a particular race or another color by some other means. He made all of us, and he loves each and every one of us. He is the God of all. In 1 John chapter 4, listen carefully, and listen as I've tried teaching over the last few years in particular, since we know that the scripture, this wonderful book that he has guarded for us over the centuries, that all of God's word is breathed out by him. These are his thoughts. This is his word to us. So as we look at this passage, Jesus is speaking to you this morning. These are his words. So as his follower, or as someone who is here this morning and you're not quite sure why you're here, listen, because this is what Jesus has to say to his brothers and sisters. He is telling us here through the Apostle John, beloved, agapetos. What he is saying through this Greek term that we have here for beloved, he's talking to objects of his affection. Isn't that wonderful when you begin to think about it? You who are in Christ Jesus are an object of his affection. He really likes you. He loved you enough to go to the cross and there to suffer, not for his sins. He was sinless. He became sin, yours and mine, so that we might receive the righteousness that was his. And he took the punishment we deserve upon himself. Beloved, you whom I have a strong affection for, let us agapao, let us love one another. Let us seek each other's best and highest good at the other one's expense. I am to love you and seek your best and greatest good at my expense. You are to love me by seeking my best and highest good at your expense. This is the way we are to love each other. Here is an action step for you, family. You that have a roommate at home and not here today, go home and practice. Go home and love this person. Seek his, her best and highest good at your expense. Well, that person isn't doing it to me. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Jesus didn't say, do it if they do it. He said, do it because I do it. And I expect you to do it. And the Holy Spirit will give you everything you need, all the power you need to accomplish this. Likewise, for those of us who are married, when we go home today, Kathy is to love me, seek my best, my highest good at her expense. And I get to enjoy that. No, I need to return that. Or when I go home, if she isn't doing it, because she does it so often, I need to go home and do it to her. Throughout the day. It isn't a momentary thing. It is something we are to be living out. And we can, in the power of the Holy Spirit, our spirit aligned with the Holy Spirit. Beloved, let us seek the other person's best and highest good. For love, agape, the sincere appreciation of high regard for another person, this affection that he gives to us that is so powerful because it's holy. This loving concern, for love is from God. And we have learned that his very nature, his very essence is love. He's always seeking our best and highest good, and at his expense. Some of us don't think so at times because we want to do what we want to do, and we think we know better, right? I certainly did, but you know, I figured out something. I'm not the sharpest pencil in the drawer and never claimed to be. He's all-knowing, okay? I'm not. He's ever-present, okay? Well, I'm not. He's all-powerful, okay? Well, I'm not. And his whole essence is seeking my best and my highest good at his expense. Is that what I'm doing? Sometimes. How can I argue with this loving Heavenly Father who is that, who knows all things, knows what's the very best for me to keep me out of trouble? Because I have certainly gotten myself in a lot of trouble over the years. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves, whoever agapio, whoever loves and has been Whoever loves has been born of God. You've heard the terms born again, born from on high. The conversation Jesus had in John's Gospel, chapter 3, with Nicodemus. You have to be born again. And he says here, anyone who is not, anyone who does not love, does not, right, does not gnosko, does not know intimately, does not know God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God. Let that sink in. If agape is like totally foreign to you, I mean mostly foreign to you, you dwell in the common love, that kind of love that doesn't require the Holy Spirit's help, this regular love, but not in the agape love, then it's probably because we haven't been born again. Some of us signed the card, some of us walked the aisle, some of us raised our hand, but our lives have never been changed. And people have been injured by us more than loved by us. Something to think about. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is agape. He is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. How do we see? Where do we see this love being made manifest among us? That God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him, that we might have eternal life in him, eternal life that takes us upon that day that our body dies, we're summoned into heaven, not into hell. This is the love of God that was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. This is where we know that we have become the children of God, because we've received him into our life. And when he comes into our life, it is through the Holy Spirit coming into our life. And we know that we are connected to him. We are connected to this beautiful branch that we see in John 15. He is the vine, we are the branches. And through this vine comes the character, comes the fruit, the juice into each of the branches that are genuinely the children of God. And we see that fruit. And the very first mention of agape is found in the fruit of the Spirit. Love is right there. Exactly. Number one. So we need to ask ourselves, is this agape thing foreign to me? Or is it that which is born in me? And people are benefiting from my being in their lives through the expression of this wonderful gift that came through the gift at Christmas, Jesus. In this is love. Not that we have loved God. We didn't receive this salvation, this love, because we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, for our sins. That's a big word that many of us don't use. I don't usually use it. But it talks about that which is the perfect sacrifice. Hilasmos is the Greek term there. Hilasmos, this is the means of forgiveness. Forgiveness for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, if God so sought our best and greatest good at his expense, as a parent, think about it. Those of us that are our parents, how many of us would let our babies, our sinless little ones, so we think, how many of us would give up their lives for somebody else? How many of us would send our kids, now I'm not talking about your teenagers now. You know, you really love your kids, and how many of you would have them die for somebody else? God, as the parent of God the Son, he had to suffer and watch his son, who is perfect, go through hell on earth because of us. Jesus demonstrated his love for each of us in the same way. He gave himself up for us. And the Holy Spirit every single day is committed to never deserting you, never walking away, staying with you every single moment, even into eternity. And some of us, we slip right back into the flesh. I do. And I'm not living for the Lord in that fleshliness. I've got to, again, Holy Spirit, please forgive me. Help me to focus on you, because we have learned where our focus goes, our energy flows, right? Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We need to be graciously giving this uncommon love that changes lives to other people. I wonder what some people's relationships would be if they stopped judging others and started loving them. Our Heavenly Father is reaching out right now, his love to Muslims and Jews and Hindus and people of Christian cults like Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses. He's reaching out to atheists through you and me. That's why we're still here. To exercise, to live this love, and to share this marvelous, life-changing gospel with people who need to hear it. Folks, we do not need to see eye to eye with someone to love them unconditionally. Think about it. I have a question here. Would you say that you and Father God were seeing eye to eye before he saved your soul? Yes or no? Father, you know, you and I weren't seeing eye to eye. We saw eye to eye on all of the basics, but it took quite a while, didn't it, Father? Before we saw eye to eye. I still don't, in my humanness, it's got to be the humanness, because it rebels against certain things that he wants me to either say or do or simply receive. That's that fight between the spirit and the flesh that we see in Galatians 5. One of the things I love about GHCC, and I've said it time and again, is that we're made up of Asians, we're made up of Middle Easterns, Indians, blacks, whites, well-off, poor, Democrats, Republicans, Dodger lovers?
Yankee lovers.
And there might be one or two of them in heaven. Have you ever heard the poem, Heaven's Surprise? Let me share it with you. I think you'll enjoy it. I'm not one who's a poet because I know it, but it goes like this. I was shocked, bewildered, and confused when I entered heaven's door. Not by the beauty, nor the lights, nor even the decor. It was the people in heaven that made me sputter and gasp. The sinners, the cheaters, the liars, and the trash. There stood the kid from second grade that stole my lunch money twice. Next to him was my neighbor who never said anything nice. Herb, who I thought would be rotting in hell, was sitting on cloud nine, doing quite well. I asked Jesus, "What's the deal? I'd love to hear your take. How'd all these sinners get up here? It must have been a mistake. And why is everyone so quiet, so somber? Please give me a clue." Jesus said, "It is because they are all in shock, Ron. They never thought they'd be seeing you." Question, where would we all be without the mercy of Father God? Hell, of course. And we are to be emissaries of mercy to the people around us. We have all made mistakes, disobeyed our loving Jesus. He has asked all of us who are believers to show this love that we've been looking at these last 3 weeks to others, to other people. We are not to look at them through eyes of judgment, but eyes of mercy. Kath sent me something early this morning because she doesn't like to get up at 3 a.m. I got it about 6 a.m. while she was doing her devotions. And it said this, "The happiest people I know are evaluating and improving themselves. The unhappy people are usually evaluating and judging others." Back to your notes. Someone may say, "Well, Ron, I don't think she should be dressed that way in church." Yes, most likely not. You know, when someone first comes to faith in Christ, using the analogy that I'll go on with here, sometimes these young ladies are coming right out of the world. They have been living in the United States culture. And the United States moved away from modesty about 40 years ago. When I was a law enforcement officer, you could usually tell a woman who was working the streets, prostitution, by the way she dressed. Women today have been taught by our culture that dressing as they did then, and I would know that that person was a prostitute, they dress that way today because that's the way you dress. Now, not the women in the church, but nonetheless, this is so confusing and it's so difficult, particularly ladies, for men. Men are visual creatures. They can't help that. But we need to be, even as men,
wearing our tight shirts, you know, to show our pectoral muscles and be able to flex them back and forth and so forth. I used to be able to do that. Kath was not impressed. But anyway, looking back here, I would say, yes, most likely. Most likely not, but I'd rather that she was here than at a nightclub. Before you judge her, get to know her. Get to know her. Listen to her story. We must give them some room. That is, we need to give these new Christians time while they are in the process of changing into the image of our Heavenly Father's Son. The fact is this: if we are judgmental, holier than thou individuals, that is not going to help them move forward. That's conditional, not unconditional love. It's regular love or common love, not unconditional love. Just a thought. Conditional love requires that you meet all my demands, and then I'll love you. Our Heavenly Father freely gave us His mercy. Now let us give mercy to others freely. I heard the story of a young couple. They're eating breakfast at a diner. Young husband, young wife, with their firstborn year-old baby son. And the story goes like this. As they were eating, the little boy started smiling with a really wide smile and started banging on the tray in front of him in a very excited manner. You can imagine. You ever been in the, you know, those who have been, those of us that are parents, we've taken our kids to restaurants, and they don't always do what you want them to do. They're, you know, you hand them a rattle that distract them, and that gets banged on or rang, and you know, the people all around are beginning to possibly get a little annoyed. But the little boy is banging on the tray in front of him in a very excited manner. His mother turned around to see what was causing their son's excitement. And there was this elderly man directly behind them at the next table. The man looked to be homeless. His hair was disheveled. He hadn't shaved. His clothes were very dirty. And he smelled terribly. He said to the little boy loudly from his table, "How you doing, little buddy?" And everybody in the diner turned to see what was going on. The mom was a little embarrassed, and she nodded at the man, then turned back around to her table and tried to get her little boy's attention away from him. But the man kept talking to him and playing peekaboo with him. The little boy was being totally entertained and taken by the man. Instead of just smiling, the baby was cackling, laughing out loud. The parents just bowed their heads and tried to eat their food as fast as they could. They were finally through with the breakfast, and it was raining outside. The husband went to pull the car up close to the front door. The mom picked up her baby and headed toward the cash register to pay the bill. Under her breath, she is saying, "Lord, help me to get out of here without any more commotion." But about that time, the homeless man got up and stood in line behind them. When the little boy saw the man, he put out both his arms, leaned away from his mother, and reached out to the man.
The little boy was pushing himself away so hard that mom was beginning to lose hold of him, and he was immediately in the hands of a total stranger. From all the appearances, it looked like the little boy and homeless man were old friends. At one point, the little baby laid his head on the homeless man's chest. The homeless man just closed his eyes, taking this all in. His hands, dirty and rough, patted the little boy on his back. The mother stood and watched in all amazement. After a couple of moments, he handed the little boy back to her very gently and said, "You take care of this little boy." She said with a lump in her throat, "I will." She walked slowly toward the diner's door with tears running down her cheeks and said, "God, please forgive me." She had just witnessed the unconditional love shown to the innocence of her little baby boy. The baby didn't see the man's messy hair, didn't count the odor as something to take notice of, nor did his dirty clothes or hands trouble him. The baby saw this man through love. The mother and father saw the man through eyes of judgment. My prayer for me is, let me see people through the eyes of a baby. I don't do that very well, but that's my prayer. Better yet, might I see you and any other person through the eyes of our Abba Father, who's been teaching us about this love that he loves us with and changes lives. We're not to judge people by their exterior, what they wear, or the way they look, by the mistakes that they have made, but may I see people through the eyes of an uncommon, life-changing love. So how are you doing? Is your heart full of mercy? Do you give people the benefit of a doubt? Are you humble? Are you forgiving? I remember hearing a story of a man who attended a very formal, highbrow church. It was his first time, and he walked in and he was wearing a cowboy hat, Western boots and jeans. And the people in the church were astonished. They would send emails to him after the worship celebration admonishing the pastor about the dress code and how this man had violated, and they were disturbed with their pastor, not knowing that after the worship celebration was over, the pastor had gone to this man and told him, "If you choose to come back, you need to talk to God about what you should be wearing." The man showed up the next Sunday dressed exactly the same. The pastor scolded him and said, "I told you what to do. I told you to ask God, what should you wear before you come back to my church?" And the man said, "I did ask God, and he told me he didn't know. He'd never been here." My point, family, is do not judge one's exterior. Everyone needs this uncommon, life-giving love. Everyone. GHS hears, the message is clear for the Holy Spirit to us. Those of you in the live stream and in other places, followers of Christ, if you listen to this as a download from our website or a CD, the message is clear. We are to be fishers of men and women, family. We are to be fishers of men and women. We are not to be aquarium watchers. We are to love these people and to share the good news of the gospel. That is why Jesus came into the world, not to be this beautiful baby found in a poor setting. He came so that his love would be our love and we would share him with people, that they too would know what it is to be loved by a wonderful Heavenly Father who has the most gracious, merciful Heavenly Son and a Holy Spirit, the Godhead, the Holy Spirit willing to continue to live with us individually in each of us who are genuinely followers of the Lord Jesus. We need to be sharing our Savior's unconditional, life-giving word. Let's give people a hand up. If we're going to give them a push, let's give them a push forward, not down. Show mercy, be understanding. Give them the benefit of a doubt. Family, if you do this, you will be blessed time and time again by the very one who has already paid for all of your sins and made it possible for you to be adopted into his family. This will be an act of love on your part toward our Heavenly Father. Your obedience in exercising this unconditional love. If you share it, that's out of obedience. If you teach it, wonderful. But share it and let people see it manifested equally in you. The gospel of our Lord Jesus is the gift, that the gift Jesus came into the world to provide us. Not sweet songs to sing to him as a baby. He came into the world to save our souls, to give us the greatest gift that we can ever receive. You might think it's the next Xbox. No. We can get all the Xbox 25 over the years and go to hell. We need to receive the love that changes our lives through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not a follower of God's Son, Jesus, he can love you with this uncommon, life-giving love. The question that I have for you this morning is, do you want it? Would you like to have it? Are you at a point in your life to where you sense that, I guess this uncomfortability that I've been sensing for a while is the God, the Holy Spirit, drawing me to God the Son, Jesus Christ, that I might ask him to forgive me and that I would repent, meaning I'd change my lifestyle with the help of God himself. If these are things that you would like, then I'd like you, if you would, whether you're at home in the live stream or across the country or in another country altogether,
If you sense that the Spirit of God has been drawing you, possibly this moment, for the Christmas gift, Jesus Christ, to be your Savior, to be your Lord, your boss, then I'm going to ask you to pray with me right where you are. I'll pray slowly if it fits for you. No twisting of any arms here. This needs to be something that you desire, you want for yourself, not for someone else. Abba, Father, I choose this morning to respond to your salvation. I thank you for this invitation and come to you in the beautiful name of your Son, Jesus. I come with all my sins, hang-ups, heartaches, and addictions. I desire to be forgiven all my sins. I am truly sorry for all my sins. I want to repent and turn away from my sins and turn to you, Lord Jesus. I understand it is by your Father's favor on me and the gift of faith, yet another gift from you, that all this and more can take place in my life. I believe with my heart what I now confess with my mouth. You are my Master and Savior and God. Thank you, Father God, for having adopted me as your child in giving me the gift of the Holy Spirit. With his help, I will follow you as a disciple all the rest of my life. I believe in you, Lord Jesus, and receive you as my Lord and Redeemer. I make this prayer this morning in your saving name, Lord Jesus. Now, with our heads still bowed, Jesus said this in his gospel as well. If you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. But if you do not confess me before men, nor will I confess you before my Father who is in heaven. So as a confession before men, if you prayed that prayer this morning with me to receive the Lord Jesus into your life, I'd like you to look up and lift up your hand here in the worship center that I might be able to determine that this was your desire and your action this morning. Is there anyone here? Was that your prayer? Again, if you prayed that prayer, would you just slip up your hand so I know that that was your desire this morning? Now, for those of you that are at home, if you prayed that prayer, even if you're in another country, would you give us a call at area code 818-363
317-367. Again, area code 818-363-3767. And tell them that you this morning prayed to invite Jesus into your life and you would like the I Said Yes packet sent to you. If you can't call, then our address is 11263 Balboa Boulevard, Granada Hills, California, 91344. Again, that's 11263 Balboa Boulevard, Granada Hills, California, 91344. If you call or you send a note to us, we will see that the yes packet is sent out to you free of charge. Father God, thank you so very much for this lesson in being able to thoroughly understand the depth of your agape love for us and your expectation through the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to share it with anybody, everybody that we have an opportunity to do so, and to be sensitive in our own spirit that your love that changes lives is there to change ours as well, so that we become conformed to the image of your wonderful Son, our Lord and Savior, our precious Christmas gift that came into the world at a time such as this that we celebrate his birth. Amen.